This is WSFI Spotlight, a conversation with Catholics living in the light.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of WSFI Spotlight. I'm Bill Snyder, and today my guest is Allison Casey. She is a mother of three teens, married to her husband, Doug, for 21 years, and she lives in Libertyville. She is the liaison between the foundation board of My Father's Love and the exhibit of My Father's Love by the late Ed Lancer. And this exhibit is truly unbelievable, incredible, and words cannot sum it up. We're not going to be able to do it justice in any form on the radio program. But Allison, I want to ask you and thank you for coming to this program and talking with us about this extraordinary miracle that is happening right here in Libertyville, Illinois.
Thanks for having me, Bill. Really appreciate it.
And I want to begin by asking you, who was Ed Lancer?
Ed Lancer was a remarkable man who had an extraordinary journey. He was a man who had scarlet fever as a child in his early years, 4 or 5 years old. His baby brother contracted scarlet fever and actually died from that illness. His mother blamed him for the death of that baby. And throughout Ed's life, he was sort of told by his mother that he would not be loved or know how to love. So you start to hear that from your mother enough, you actually start to believe that. But Ed had a troubled childhood, but he did have a very nice relationship with his father. His father was a carpenter by trade, taught him those skills, and through those skills, learned how to really master wood. And when he was about 15 years old, his father told him that he needed to learn his own angle. His father worked in squares and rectangles, 45 and 90 degrees, and told Ed that he needed to learn his own. So he decided to do a 30-60 degree diamond-shaped angle. And little did he know how important that angle would become in his later years. He was also slightly what we would maybe call disabled. He had impairment in his brain function as a result of the scarlet fever that affected his ability to write and draw. So as a result, you can imagine how children maybe mistreated him in school. He was often bullied. His own brother abused him. He had a lot of volatility, but the one thing that he did have was the love of the Father. And that sort of sustained him throughout his life. He was an avid Bible studier. He actually went to school to be a minister. He was well trained in the Bible, but he was an avid reader, but he couldn't write or draw. He had a lot of impairments, but that never seemed to deter him from his purpose.
Why does Lachelle Van Houten, the author of his memoir entitled The Mural Writer, refer to his story as the unlikely story of an outcast who fulfilled an extraordinary purpose?
Well, I think it's an interesting part that the mural writer came to be to begin with, because Lachelle herself was an art teacher for troubled teens. She worked in an alternative school in Kalkaska, Michigan, Ed's hometown, and she used art as sort of a healing mechanism for those children. They were volatile teens, and Ed, who she did not know, was working in an abandoned warehouse across the street from that school and actually went to the superintendent asking the superintendent if he could use his art form to heal some children, because he knew that those children were troubled, much like Ed was in his childhood. The superintendent agreed to that assignment. Wouldn't you happen to know that Lachelle was the teacher of those students? And when Lachelle came to this abandoned warehouse and saw who the art teacher was going to be, she recognized Ed right away. She knew that he was the often homeless man that would ride his bike around town, that often people sort of mistreated around town, and said, "Oh my goodness, it's you." She'd see him dumpster diving and whatnot around town, and he was the artist that was going to be working with her students. And he said to Lachelle, "The father said you'd be coming." And of course, Lachelle didn't know what that meant. And the father said you'd be coming because you're going to be the author of my memoir. but you can't do that until after I pass away. So he then told her that for the next 5 years or so, that she would basically be working with him, with the students, and also just sort of studying his art form and his life. And the reason why it's an unlikely story of an outcast who fulfilled an extraordinary purpose is because Ed did not have the tools to create such rare, miraculous murals. He didn't even know how to sketch or draw because of his impairments. This is not a man who was an artist in a traditional sense.
Sure.
He couldn't even really write his own name well. So he was extraordinary in the sense that he received this vision in his early 50s. And so it was because of that decision at 15 of the 30-60 degree angle that when he received this vision from God in his early 50s, that he was able to create the imagery that you see. Had these things not happened throughout his life, such as the death of his baby brother, the bullying, the lack of love that he received from people, from humans, but the love that he received from the Father throughout his life, that he was able to fulfill this vision that he received in his early 50s to create 30 miraculous panels depicting the life of Christ.
Mm. This is so unbelievable. So many things seem ordained.
Yes.
about this. Here's Ed, who made this the little piece of wood, this little block that is no larger than the tip of your index finger. And here it is 50 years later or whatever, 40 years later, he has these visions and now he's able to use it. So many things seem ordained in this story. And
right, right.
It's now next to us right here in Libertyville, and you got involved with this. And how did your journey begin with this entire story?
Well, much like Ed's journey being sort of unlikely, mine is equally unlikely. Of course, I now see all how God play this out for me. It didn't make sense at the time, but it is abundantly clear what God did to place me in this path. Obviously, my childhood was a beautiful childhood, unlike Ed's. Mine was sort of the perfect little situation in a very traditional Italian household. I have a very tight-knit family. I was a little bit different than a lot of my siblings in that I always had God in my life. I studied religion in college. I've always been charitable and involved in different ministries, but in a very simple way, not overly committed. I'm a mother of three teens now, so when they were babies, I was busy with them. But I had two of my teenage daughters with me on a flight at the end of March of 2015, and it was the day after the Germanwings flight went down, and my youngest daughter was especially agitated getting on the plane that day. And lo and behold, we were separated. Circumstances allowed us to not have seats together. And on top of that, in the exit row, there was a woman that was removed from her seat and replaced by a marshal. So everybody on the plane was a little aggravated, sort of unsure of what was going on, and heightened security was certainly
sure
everywhere around us. And so the woman sitting next to me says, "I really hope your daughters understand that this woman isn't dangerous. She was on our flight from Michigan this morning and she was merely intoxicated. She's not dangerous." So needless to say, my girls were fine and I was fine and off we went, but it got us chatting. I normally wouldn't have that opportunity because I'd either be with my husband or my children or reading or whatnot. But because of the chaos on the plane that day, we got talking. And lo and behold, she says, "I'm going to look at a home in Florida. I'm retiring and I'm an art teacher for troubled teens." And I told her how I loved that age and that I actually taught religion to teenagers and really, really liked that age. And her proud husband says, "Well, not only is she an art teacher, she's an author." And I said, "Oh my goodness, what an odd coincidence. We're actually visiting my parents. And my father, when he retired, wrote a book in his first year and also took art classes." So there was an instant connection on that common thread. And I said, "Well, I have to know what your book was about." And she said, "Well, it's an interesting story about an often homeless man and his artwork and his great legacy, which is sort of a love story." And of course, that sparked my curiosity. And I said, "Well, I have to read it." And she said, "Well, normally I would have the book on the plane with me, but they made me check my bag at the gate, but I do so happen to have two pieces of wood that I'd like you to have." And they so were these wooden diamonds that meant nothing to me at the time. And so I visit my family, I come back, and I order Lachelle's book on Amazon. It's called The Mural Writer. And I read it in 2 days, which is not something that is normal for me. I'm not a great student, so I couldn't put it down. I literally read round the clock for two straight days. And again, unbeknownst to me, I sent her an email, which is not something that I've ever done before. I didn't even think about it. I just wrote her an email and said, I don't know if you remember me from the airplane ride, but I understand why you gave me those two diamonds. And I'm so completely taken by your story about Ed's life and his journey that I humbly request the opportunity to come and see this artwork. Where is it? I'd really like to come see it. And she said, well, I remember you, of course. You made a huge impression on me. And we have a foundation meeting in 2 days, and I'll get back to you. And so, of course, she got back to me right away, and the foundation agreed to welcome me to Northern Michigan. It's about a 6 to 7 hour drive from Libertyville. And my husband couldn't join me because we had just been on vacation. And so I invited two of my girlfriends to join me. And we traveled there in early June. And little did I know that when I got to Northern Michigan, I would find those murals homeless. So I had no idea why I actually went all the way up there, because I thought I was going to see them and maybe buy a piece of Ed's artwork. I was sort of a little arrogant about it, thinking I just want to see what he did and be done. But I realized that my purpose of going there was clearly not what I thought, that I had this gut-wrenching feeling that I needed to help them somehow. And so lo and behold, fast forward, I get back to Libertyville and basically frantically start looking for space to house these murals. And that is a really difficult thing to do when A, I've never even seen the artwork, and B, I have really no idea what I'm even talking about. So I sort of sounded like a crazy person to local business owners when I asked them to donate for free 3,000 square foot of office space for an art project that might temporarily be here. Sound like a little bit of a nut.
Right.
So I wasn't really making very good progress. And my dad said, honey, if this doesn't work out, I just want you to understand, don't be disappointed. You've done a lot of work. And I said, well, Dad, that's just not an option. I mean, I've got to figure something out. So I decided to invite Lachelle to my home in Libertyville in October. She stayed for 3 days and she gave some book talks to some local friends. And wouldn't you know, the father provided by connecting me to somebody who knew the owner of this building, of the old Folds warehouse, Folds Pasta Factory. And so it's very unlikely that I would be the person in contact, because I'm not someone who's a leader. I've never been a person who likes to be in the public eye. I don't have strong educational background in terms of ongoing study. I mean, I graduated college and all, but I'm not a great student. I'm not a leader. I'm not someone who enjoys being in the public eye at all. And quite honestly, the foundation really loved the fact that I was the one that was brought to the table here, because they sort of felt that my heart was in Ed's best interest and the father's. I didn't have any ulterior motives. In fact, I actually had a lot to lose by doing this, but I felt so compelled by Ed and his story.
That is unbelievable. You're listening to the voice of Allison Casey. She is the liaison between the foundation board of My Father's Love and the exhibit My Father's Love by the late Ed Lancer here in Libertyville. He just mentioned the exhibit is at the old Folds Pasta Factory, which is located right here in Libertyville. And we have to take a short break here on WSFI Spotlight. We're going to come back and talk more with Allison right after these messages, so stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Hello, I am Bishop Don Hying from the Diocese of Gary, Indiana. Catholic radio has a remarkable reach into the minds and hearts of all sorts of people who may not be going to church, who may not have any other connection to learning about the faith. I know so many people have grown in the Catholic faith because they listen to Catholic radio.
WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio
is committed to bringing quality Catholic programs to our local community. We only can do that with your financial support. Take a moment now to donate online at WSFIradio.org or mail your tax-deductible donation to WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. That's WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. Donations of any amount are greatly appreciated.
Are you retired or near retirement? Do you want to keep a larger amount of your assets in a safe place with guaranteed interest rates to protect yourself from a huge market swing? Are you amazed at how low the interest rates are at your bank? If you said yes to any or all of those questions, you may want to call me, Matt Tomlinson, at Catholic Financial Life to discuss our guaranteed fixed rate annuities. Call 847-548-MATT, 847-548-6288. Products not available in all states.
Did you know you can listen to WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio online? Visit WSFIradio.org and click on Listen Live. That's WSFIradio.org and Listen Live.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to this episode of WSFI Spotlight. I'm Bill Snyder. Today my guest is Allison Casey. She is the liaison between the Foundation Board of My Father's Love and the My Father's Love exhibit here in the Libertyville area at the Folds Gallery. And I want to ask you, we talked a lot about the history and bringing it to this area and your journey with this incredible miracle that is occurring here until June in Libertyville, but I want to ask you about the artwork itself. These murals are large. How large? I understand he didn't draw or sketch them first at all, which you mentioned. Why is that? And just tell us about the experience of this artwork. Begin with, why is it entitled My Father's Love?
This is the part that's really a hard part to discuss, because really the murals need to be seen for people to understand exactly what I'm saying. There's really no words that I'm going to be able to describe that are going to do it even remotely justice. It's really, really impossible to do. But when we're saying large, Bill, it's like, these are 4 feet by 8 feet tall, and there's 30 of them. Each of them weigh over 400 pounds. They are constructed with wood, raw wood, Elmer's wood glue, and affixed to plywood. And those are the only products that you'll see on these murals. Mm. But they are massive, and they all depict the life of Christ through his interpretation as an artist. He didn't sketch or draw them first because of the scarlet fever. And so he couldn't draw at all. So when he created his original 7 panels that are entitled My Father's Love, he created one mural at a time. The very first mural that he did was of Jesus. And he placed his very first diamond in the voice box of Jesus, sort of suggesting that this is going to be the word of God through his artwork. And back in June, I actually was floundering on what I'm supposed to do with this now that I realized that the artwork was homeless. And I went to our local priest, Father Trout, and Father Hennessy. I had 2 separate meetings with them both, sort of trying to figure out what I am supposed to do, because I just was like blown away. I'd just come back from Michigan, and I thought, what am I supposed to do? The mathematics of this is, these are quite large, these murals depicting the life of Christ. How am I going to get them on exhibit somewhere in the Libertyville area? And both of them gave me some very good suggestions, but they also said, you need to be careful. This is a large undertaking. And Father Trout actually suggested that I read a book called Opening to God, and I was actually in tears. I was a little unhappy with that that recommendation, but little did I know how important that book would become, because it actually really taught me a lot about prayer that I thought I had pretty well under my belt, but I actually really needed to learn a little bit about that. And that prayer led me to sort of understanding all the different people that are connected to this project. Ed refers to it as his relay team. And my journey on this relay team began at the end of March, little did I know. And the gallery itself is going to be ending on June 1st. I mean, we're hopeful that we will be there until June 1st. I'm sure by the power of the Holy Spirit, we will be there until June 1st. So the murals themselves are really sort of their own story. Each of the murals has its own story. I've been trained on that by docents from Michigan, and I now have a team of about, I don't know, 12 to 15 women who have volunteered to be docents. I've got a team of about 40 to 50 people that are also greeters in the space to welcome them and share the story. So this journey, this relay team is constantly changing and growing. And obviously we want people to continue to join us on that journey. I got connected to you through fellow parishioner, and that's how this keeps going. It's Ed calls it a relay team, and it's something that is ever evolving.
I want to just touch on, there's some irony in that too, because Ed spent many years of his life homeless, and here the exhibit is virtually homeless. It's kind of stopping here in Libertyville, and it's in an abandoned warehouse.
Right.
He worked in an abandoned warehouse.
Exactly.
I mean, there are so many things tied together here. From this story, it gives you chills.
Yeah.
And puts tears in your eyes. And
they've actually never been on display in an abandoned factory. That is one of the things that actually floors the foundation. I mean, they cannot even believe that here I am sitting on an airplane, and you fast forward to November 7th when these murals arrived. Some of the foundation came with the murals during our installation, and they could not believe that this was the physical space where these murals were going, because they've never been on display like that. My girlfriend, Amy Shanahan in particular, who came with me to Northern Michigan, she and her husband, and Kathy Young, who I also went blindly to, sitting in my pajamas one day at her kitchen table saying, I don't even know what I'm asking you, but would you be willing to help me on this project? Same with Amy. Hey, will you travel with me to Northern Michigan? I mean, this is like the blind leading the blind. We had no idea what we were doing. And when I went to Kathy and said, hey, this is an abandoned warehouse. Come look at the space with me. And I don't even really know what I'm asking you to do. But as my friend, would you be willing to help me transform this space, learn how to be a docent, and help me do this exhibit? We're a team of, started out with just me, and slowly we started to add people on. Got connected to a man by the name of Jim Connell. He helped brand the name Folds Gallery. It's a pop-up art gallery, but we're in the Folds building, and this relay team just kept going. And that's what led me here today.
It's truly unbelievable story, and it's just one that, from somebody who's seen the artwork and only once, and there's no way you can drink it all in and in one quick passing. And we were there for like an hour and a half,
maybe.
And
well, we
and
have people that have come many, many times, you know, 15, 20 times. They've come over and over again. We actually have one of my fellow parishioners who I didn't know before this. He comes almost every Thursday and Sunday now. He's a musician as a hobby, and he's actually writing a song about it. He was so taken by it. And now he's a volunteer. And one day, and then my husband and I were overwhelmed with 300 to 400 people came through on a Sunday. Again, we don't know how this all has happened except through God's work. And this man walked in and said, oh, I'm just here to see the exhibit, but I see that you're really busy. Do you need me to help you as a volunteer? I said, oh, please, Peter, please, we need help. And he throws a pin on, and next thing you know, he's greeting people. And that's just how it's been. Ed, if he's taught me anything, it's that the Father will provide. And when I've gotten discouraged and overwhelmed by this project, having really no manual on how to do this, the foundation, every time I call them, they say, oh, remember, the Father will provide. And I cannot tell you how many times over and over and over again the Father has provided.
What a great message for all of us listening on the radio. I often remind listeners and people who are guests on the program, I often remind listeners that there's a divine appointment that's being made with somebody right now driving around in their vehicle listening to this program going, oh my gosh, I'm struggling in faith, or I'm struggling with something, and through no fault of our own other than the Holy Spirit's action through our words, they're being uplifted.
Mm-hmm.
And what an amazing thing to think, here is a homeless guy who has done amazing, amazing artwork that you can't even put into words, and now we're talking about it, and somebody's listening to that message, and they're hearing that message of hope, that message of salvation, and
ultimately a love story. It's a love story.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, the reason why I was so taken by Ed Lancer is that he is sharing love, the love of the Father, and Ed's love for him, and the Father's love back to all of us. And for a man who really didn't know love in any other form, died such a peaceful man on December 29th, 2009, because he knew that love. And for a man who was so troubled, he never felt unhappy. He never felt anything but love. And that's what his great legacy is sharing that love with all of us. Free of charge, by the way.
Yes.
That exhibit is free to the public. And that's sort of an important piece because Ed, as a homeless man, would never have been able to pay admission. So we run strictly on volunteers and donations, and which is why it's very difficult to have an exhibit because nobody's paying to see it. We run on, obviously people can make free will donations, but we run on the goodwill of human beings.
Incredible. I want to ask you about the impact. People have come through this and seen this exhibit multiple times. Even today, touring it, we were going through the exhibit. When I was going through the exhibit, you mentioned that little children are fascinated by this. Adults are fascinated by this. Everybody is fascinated by this. Mm-hmm. What is some of the impact as they're walking through this? What are some of the things you're hearing? What are some of the things the volunteers are hearing? Just tell me a little bit about the impact that this is making on people's lives.
I could talk to you for hours about that, Bill, to be honest, because there's so many stories that we could share. My team of people could share stories for days. But really, there's no age that doesn't get affected by this. We have had 14-month-old babies who can't talk, grabbing their little diamond wood blocks, and they scream and squeal around the exhibit because they just love it. They don't even know what they're able to communicate or express, but they squeal in excitement. They literally have been engaged all the way through to a 90-year-old man who comes often. He actually was so taken by it. He lost his wife in July. He was a wood sculptor, a very, very talented wood sculptor. He just was a guest that came in, and now he's creating these wooden stands to sort of help us get like title cards for each of the panels to give a little explanation of them. So literally from 14 months old to 90, we have had people, we have had homeschool groups, we've had schools come through, we've had senior centers. We're working on two homeless events in inner city Chicago that my friend Amy, who traveled with me to Northern Michigan, her uncle is in charge of some groups in the city. They're coming out. We've had church groups, we've had book clubs, we've had seminarians come in from St. Mary's. We've had kids touching these murals. We do different tours with children than we do for adults when they're organized groups. We do sort of a seek and find so that they are engaged with the murals, and then they proceed to ask me questions. And let me tell you, they plan to come for half an hour and they stay well over an hour. These children love it. And they have a different lens. They see the murals differently than we do because the murals really are very, very interactive. If you're standing up close or back farther to the right or the left, depending on where you're standing, you continue to see something new every time. So, you know, there's people who have studied these murals from Michigan for 15 plus years, and they see something new every time they come in. I've continued to learn something new every day, to the point we've actually created a forum amongst our volunteers to continue to learn and see things about these murals. There's always something to learn, and I actually have learned the most from the children. The children's lens, because they don't have preconceived notions like we do as adults. So they just see things just without any preconceived notion, and it's really very different. So I've loved that. But they also, the kids want to touch them, which they are able to do. They can take pictures. At some point in time, maybe we won't be able to do that, but for now, we are allowed to do that. And the kids touching them is like this tangible experience that often faith is something that's quite an abstract thing for a child. But when they actually touch them, they have this experience that's very, very profound. And so we continue to schedule children's school programs throughout April. We have many, many schools coming in. There's mathematics that go into this. MIT has studied these panels, and they cannot figure out what Ed Lancer did. So there's English lessons, there's religious lessons, there's mathematical, you name it.
And you truly, as you say, it is a story that has to be seen.
Right.
It's
absolutely
a story that has to be seen. And I want to just quickly, as we're running out of time here, I want to quickly just ask you when the gallery's open and how people can get in touch with you, because this obviously is going to be something people are interested in.
We are open to the public on Tuesdays and Sundays from 9 to 2, and we're open on Thursdays from 9 to 7. We're hopefully going to be able to extend some hours, but we need additional volunteers to staff that. And also, we do by appointment only. So when we do school groups or larger groups, we do by appointment only. And you can contact me at 847 847- 424-0039 to schedule that. We look forward to seeing as many people. We've had over 5,000 people through just by word of mouth in the last 2.5 months.
Well, I'm glad that we can be a voice to help.
Yeah, thank you.
This, I think, would be a wonderful thing for all listeners to come and see.
Promise you it's time well spent.
Yes. Well, Allison, thank you so much for spending your precious time with me here today on WSFI Spotlight and sharing Ed Lancer's story with all of us. It has been a true inspiration and just so awesome.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
So this has been an episode of WSFI Spotlight. Till next time, from all of us at WSFI Catholic Radio, I'm Bill Snyder. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.
This has been WSFI Spotlight. For more information on this or any other program, email info@wsfiradio.org.